Hello and welcome to Europe Now. We've been exploring levelling up in this series, that's to say, tackling inequalities and disparities across the European Union. And that's a very live issue here in Bulgaria. This is the EU's poorest member state in its GDP distribution, and workers here can expect to earn five times less than their counterparts in the richest parts of the European Union. Well, to address some of those issues, Brussels and Sofia have agreed on an investment plan worth 11 billion euros, which runs from 2021 to 2027. The EU wants that investment to go hand in hand with further reforms in areas such as justice and anti-corruption. But there's a slight snag. Bulgaria has been in a political crisis which has seen it hold five elections in 2 years. And people are wondering, how will this uncertainty affect Bulgaria's path towards further European integration, as well as its positioning on key issues such as Russia and the war in Ukraine? Not one, but two prime ministers. That's the tentative deal reached by the two parties, which scored highest in the inconclusive April elections. The rotating premiership could avert a fresh vote, which would have been the sixth in 2 years. First up to lead the coalition, Nikolai Denkov for the Anti-Corruption Alliance, We Continue the Change, or PP. After 9 months, he'll hand over to Maria Gabriel, the Vice Prime Minister. The former EU Commissioner resigned from her post to lead coalition talks for the centre-right GEB, the party long dominated by former Prime Minister Boyko Borisov. If ultimately approved, the power-sharing deal could allow Sofia to turn the page on 2 years of political chaos and open a new chapter with the EU, its priorities joining the Eurozone and the Schengen area. The coalition partners do have their differences. GEB has faced multiple accusations of corruption, while the PP campaigned against graft. But the two political movements share similar views on the war in Ukraine. Right from the start, Kirill Petkov's liberal government indirectly supplied Kyiv with weapons via Poland and Romania. That contentious issue playing into the hands of Bulgaria's pro-Russian party Revival, which came third in the April election, benefiting from unease among some voters about Sofia's positions on Moscow and NATO. Well, to go further into this political crisis, I'm joined by the Vice President of Bulgaria, Mrs. Ilyana Yotova, who's been in this job since 2017, and she is a former MEP and close to the Bulgarian Socialist Party. Thank you so much for being my guest. A lot of the people that we've met in Bulgaria seem very disillusioned by this political deadlock. What is the way out for you, do you think, of this crisis?
You know, this is the first time in our recent history that we've had five elections in 2 years. For a small country like Bulgaria, that's too much. But that's also democracy. Now we're building a stable majority in parliament. We're putting together the new parliament. The constitution says that we're a parliamentary democracy, so it's up to the political parties to make sure that we have a stable parliament and a stable government as well.
At the end of March, you were quoted as saying that you were in favor of new peace talks between Ukraine and Russia. You're worried about an escalation between NATO and Russia.
You know, Putin has broken the most important taboo in Europe. No more war. He must be stopped. He must be punished. But there should still be talks with Ukraine, with Russia, with all the international institutions. Those institutions are on the sidelines now. They're not making decisions. And even when they do say something, people don't pay a lot of attention. I think that will have very bad consequences. You know, in Bulgaria, we have welcomed thousands of refugees, women, children, adults. We've made sure that they're welcomed in the best possible conditions, in schools, nurseries, and so on. Above all, this is a humanitarian disaster.
A
former Prime Minister of Bulgaria, Ivan Kostov, said that he alleged that your president was an agent of Russian influence.
That is a lie. The president of our republic, Mr. Radev, is an important person, a strong person. He has already proved that his priority is to defend our national interests.
On the question of EU funds in Bulgaria and Bulgaria catching up with other EU member states, what are your expectations of how these European funds should be used and on whom?
Over the last 13 years, since Bulgaria joined the European Union, we've done a lot with EU funds. They're a big help for us. We can't even imagine what the situation would have been like without those funds. Now we have received the first installment of the Recovery and Resilience Package, worth 2.5 billion euros. The interim government of the president had already done a lot to prepare for that project. We still need to adopt certain laws to move ahead with the implementation. But I think the parliament that is taking shape will enact those laws.
Thank you so much for being my guest on the program. Now, leveling up, of course, means helping people to catch up. And helping young people is a particular focus here in Bulgaria because their unemployment rate is actually double the national average. Our reporters David Gilbert and Elitsa Gadeva went to Plovdiv to see what is being done for young people there.
Getting to grips with tools that will one day come as second nature. Temperature control, humidity levels and CO2 measurements. These students at the Plovdiv Technical College are learning how to maintain air conditioning units thanks to equipment funded by the European Social Fund.
I'm very happy because we've received this machinery that allows us to practice, which means we'll be ready to work in a real professional environment.
We practice here, and when we graduate it, we go to work and we know what we're doing.
Angel and Simeon make up part of the 9,800 students spread across 147 schools that have benefited from the apprenticeship support program. The EU funded 80% of the total 12.5 million euro budget since 2020.
We received work overalls, two for each student, one for summer, one for winter, and they can use them in the workplace too. We also got manuals and technical literature, which are hard to get, but the EU gave us the opportunity to get them.
Thanks to the programme, these students also spend 2 days each week in work experience in local companies. Nikolai Chalakov is a former student at the technical school. Now his company provides opportunities for youngsters that he never got.
When I was a student, there weren't many opportunities to practice what we learned at school. The program gives companies the chance to offer real experience and helps the students to do it too.
Those opportunities are aided by the city of Plovdiv's dynamic economy. The unemployment rate of 3% is half the national average. Businesses have been attracted by the recent investment in infrastructure, the European Regional Development Fund providing 35 million euros over the past 7 years.
We already have fully developed a highway system. When you make a better connections between the regions, that allow us to attract private money, but also investment in social policies.
One break for new growth for businesses has been the shortage of skilled workers. Since Bulgaria joined the EU in 2007 and gained access to the single European labour market, the country has seen an exodus of young people. Over the past decade, Bulgaria's population has fallen by 10%, a trend that is only now slowing.
about 20% of the people who have gone abroad in the last 5 or 10 years are coming back. Late millennials, Generation Y and Z, who have been either driving trucks or doing something they don't want, and they're finally ready to start a real career.
One goal for the EU's Cohesion Fund is to provide the reasons for young Bulgarians to return. For their homeland, reversing the brain drain is vital for the future. In 2020, more than a fifth of 20 to 34-year-olds were categorised as not in education, employment or training.
We're here in the tourist centre, where we've held a couple of workshops and exhibitions. We have lots of art projects which have been created thanks to the city of Gabrovo, which are connected to the EU's culture programme. Here the aim was to paint the city's most famous buildings. Our last project was called The Tradition is Modern, where we looked at the links between traditions and heritage buildings. We've been lucky enough to exhibit in towns across Bulgaria, and not only in Bulgaria, but abroad too, in the Balkans, for example.
How do you feel when you do these paintings?
Very happy.
How wonderful. And you?
I imagine like I am in a wonderful and light and artistic world.
Well, I'm with the mayor of Gabrovo, who has been in this job for the last 12 years, Tanya Hristova. Hello and welcome to the programme.
Nice to meet you. Welcome to my city, Gabrovo.
Thank you so much. So let's start with a big picture question. Gabrovo was known as the Bulgarian Manchester with all its heavy industries. You're dealing with a legacy of deindustrialization. You still have a big problem with, I believe, one of the lowest, if not the lowest, birth rate in Bulgaria. And so young people still feeling a lack of opportunities and leaving their ancestral villages and small towns.
Yes,
it's still a problem today.
This is one of the biggest challenges that we have to tackle nowadays. And I believe that we are now on the right track with the support of the European Union. And I have to mention that actually this low birth rate and age challenges will be transformed, maybe not so easily, but step by step, when we create sustainable and predictable and better quality job opportunities.
Yeah. There's a political crisis, of course, in Bulgaria. I'm just wondering, do you feel that at the local level, that everyone is permanently waiting on standby for the next election? Is that affecting what you can do here in municipal policy?
Unfortunately, along with the health, along with the energy and the war crisis, we have here in Bulgaria one very specific and very dangerous crisis, and this is the political one. When there is a political crisis, it is a tradition, the European funds, to be delayed or even sometimes frozen by the European administration because we do not offer stability, we do not offer predictability of our actions. When we are in such a situation, we actually miss the opportunities that could go directly to our citizens through social service, through educational opportunities, or through investments which create also job opportunities. We need the local and regional perspective to be taken into consideration by the European Union.
Mayor Hristova, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
So 1 in 6 Europeans now is aged between 15 and 29. And that is a demographic whose life chances were particularly hard hit by the COVID pandemic. But the European Union has quite a few programs in place to help them. And our Sophie Samai takes a look at some of those programs, including one which is helping around 90,000 Bulgarian students.
Does EU cohesion policy ignore young people? The Cohesion Club's door policy means that you can meet all sorts inside. Health service providers, businesses, public infrastructure. If you can get in, that's it. Everyone's meant to receive aid from the EU to promote development and reduce inequalities. Everyone, What about young people? One in six Europeans is currently aged between 15 and 29 years. Despite the economic recovery in the wake of COVID-19, youth unemployment levels remain high. In November 2022, 2.8 million young people were jobless in the EU, which represents 15.1% of the workforce. In a bid to counter that inequality, a decade ago the EU began distributing funds, the Youth Employment Initiative. Since 2021, the YEI has become part of the European Social Fund Plus, which has a budget of 99.3 billion euros for the periods from 2021 to 2027. It provides an opportunity to fund projects tailored specifically for Europe's young. For example, the Student Practices Programme has helped 90,000 Bulgarian students find work experience placements or training courses. Or the Transnational Mobility Programme that has helped young Czechs to get a head start in their working lives. In November 2022, the EU launched a new initiative to reach out to young people in poorer areas and provide information about the opportunities, training programmes and career development that cohesion policy can provide. Meaning young people are indeed one of the main concerns for the EU's cohesion policy.
Well, that's all from me in Gabrovo in central Bulgaria for part one of this show. I'll be back in part two with more of a bird's eye view of levelling up in the European Union, not just here in Bulgaria, but also in Romania and in northern France. Join me in a few minutes just after this break.